Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?"
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
An Erio's original.
I was born with a special gift. The ability to mentally transform any situation into the worst case scenario in my own brain. My therapist calls my gift catastrophizing. And that's why I'm uniquely qualified to scrutinize and analyze history's greatest disasters and find out who's to blame. They say history repeats itself. Not on my watch. My name is Rebecca Delgado Smith, and I am The Alarmist.
Hey everyone, thanks for tuning into The Alarmist, a comedy podcast where we talk about history's greatest tragedies and figure out who's to blame. Today we're discussing the JFK assassination. Here's what you need to know. It's one of the most infamous tragedies in American history. An assassination that rocked the nation and the entire world.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You'll excuse the fact that I'm out of breath, but about 10 or 15 minutes ago, a tragic thing, from all indications at this point, has happened in the city of Dallas.
In Dallas, Texas, 3 shots were fired at President Kennedy's motorcade in downtown Dallas.
The flash, apparently official, President Kennedy died at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time.
It altered the legacy of a political icon and his entire family, tested the fabric of our democracy, and spawned conspiracy theories that live on to this day. In the fall of 1963, President John F. Kennedy and his team had their sights set on his re-election campaign. On November 21st, the president and first lady arrived in Texas for a 2-day, 5-city visit to the Key State, hoping to repair political rifts that were plaguing the Democratic Party. The campaign hit San Antonio, Houston, and Fort Worth on the first day. The following day, November 22nd, they took a 13-minute flight from Carswell Air Force Base in Fort Worth to the city of Dallas, where the president and Mrs. Kennedy greeted a massive, enthusiastic crowd of well-wishers. It had been raining earlier that day, but by the time the president and Mrs. Kennedy entered the open convertible limo, along with Governor John Connally and his wife Nellie, the rain had stopped, and therefore, the protective plastic bubble had been removed from the vehicle. The president and first lady were seated in the back for what would be a 10-mile procession through downtown Dallas on the way to a luncheon at the Trademark. Dallas showed up big time, and the streets were lined with thousands of people waiting to catch a glimpse of their commander-in-chief. Around 12:30 p.m., the motorcade turned off Main Street at Dealey Plaza as scheduled. Then, as the car passed the Texas School Book Depository, gunshots rang out in the plaza. President Kennedy slumped over into the First Lady's lap. He had been shot in the neck and head, his brain matter, shattered skull, and blood oozing out into his shocked wife's hand as she tried to apply pressure. "I have his brains in my hands," she said, followed by, "Oh, Jack, oh, Jack, what have they done? I love you, Jack." At 1 p.m., John F. Kennedy was pronounced dead in the emergency room of Parkland Memorial Hospital. A little more than 30 minutes later, Lee Harvey Oswald, a recent hire at the Texas School Book Depository, was arrested and held for the assassination of President Kennedy. On November 24th, while being transferred to the county jail, Oswald was shot point blank by Jack Ruby, live on national television. Fun facts, aka death stats. John Fitzgerald Kennedy, the 35th president of the United States, was assassinated on Friday, November 22nd, 1963, at 12:30 p.m. in Dallas, Texas. Governor Connally was also shot in the back, but survived. Dallas police officer J.D. Tippit was shot and killed on the street shortly after JFK, allegedly by Lee Harvey Oswald, who was charged with the murder of both men. 2 days later, on November 24th, Lee Harvey Oswald, the alleged assassin of President John F. Kennedy, was shot to death in the basement of the Dallas police station while on his way to a county jail by Jack Ruby, a Dallas nightclub owner. On January 3rd, 1967, after awaiting a new trial for killing Lee Harvey Oswald, Jack Ruby died of cancer at Parkland Hospital, the same facility where Oswald died and Kennedy was pronounced dead. With us today, we have producer Clayton Early.
Hello, everyone.
Fact checker Chris Smith.
Hi.
And our very special guest today is friend, author, Seth Kanner. Hi, Seth.
Hello, hello.
Seth, we're very excited to have you on now because you're an expert on this topic.
That's what you told us off air.
You just said that extreme before expert. We started podcasting. You've been emailing us all week about how your expertise.
Every day of the week, you've sent us a new fact, a new chapter of your upcoming research. No, just kidding. Guys, Seth is not an expert on this topic. He's just a good friend who's excited to talk about JFK. Seth, so we like to start off our show by asking our guest, what is something that is recently alarming you? What is something that's keeping you up at night?
Right now, I would say the Supreme Court looking at conceal and carry because I live in New York City with my family. And gun murders are way, 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 way down because we have the strictest conceal and carry laws, I think, in the nation. And so that's terrifying me right now.
Just there's so much to be scared about on a daily basis. Am I right?
Yeah, that one's in general, I'm not such a fearful person. That one has me a little bit alarmed.
Huh? Yeah. Now, I've heard through the grapevine that you actually have a connection to the Kennedys. Is this true?
It is. And it's so when I was living in Boston in 84 or 85, my ex-wife was working with a young woman named Carolyn Bessette.
Heard of her.
You heard her. And
yeah.
I became very friendly with her. And, you know, we hung out a few times and she was lovely. She was just so sweet. And one day she said, "You're not going to believe this, but I met John Jr."
Wow.
And then they ended up getting married, obviously. And the next time I saw her was in a subway in New York City. And at first I approached her and she thought I was some lunatic, which I am. And she didn't realize that we knew each other. And then she recognized me. And then we had a lovely conversation. And that was the last time I saw her. And then the plane crashed. And I was heartbroken. She was a sweet, lovely woman. Really just such a good heart and soul.
Well, this family has had so many tragic events occur within it, you know, to its different members.
Yeah.
And we will talk about this. Some people call it the Kennedy family curse. Mm-hmm. But I think we should just start, jump right in, because there's so much to cover on this topic. I mean, this is one of our biggies. Probably.
We have 20 minutes. We should be able to figure it all out, though.
That's all the time we need, really.
That's right. Now, let's start by putting Lee Harvey Oswald up on the board, shall we?
Yes.
That feels right. On September 1964, the Warren Commission, established by President Johnson to investigate the assassination of JFK, released its report. There is no evidence that either Lee Harvey Oswald or Jack Ruby were part of any conspiracy, domestic or foreign, to assassinate President Kennedy. The shots which killed President Kennedy and wounded Governor John Connally were fired by Lee Harvey Oswald. The commission has found no evidence that anyone assisted Oswald in planning or carrying out the assassination. The commission has found no evidence to show that Oswald was employed, persuaded, or encouraged by any foreign government to assassinate Kennedy, or that he was an agent of any foreign government. This is according to CBS News. Walter Cronkite said, the Warren Report in 1967, although the Warren Commissions had full power to conduct its own independent investigation, it permitted the FBI and the CIA to investigate themselves and so cast a permanent shadow on the answers.
So it was Oswald, right?
Yeah. Should we stop? Should we just?
Thank you for coming, Seth. And the it's recording. Been great having you. this is a tough one.
So, okay. So, I don't even know this, Seth. I should have asked. Are you a big conspiracy theory person when it comes to the JFK assassination?
So the smartest thing I've ever heard anybody say about conspiracies is that for some people, it's more comforting to believe that there is some evil cabal running the world than it is to think that nobody's running the world.
Wow. Mm. Profound.
Very profound. I wish I said it, but I kind of understand it. I'm not a big conspiracy guy because, you know, it is hard to believe that the world's chaotic and crazy things happen for no reason. But this one, as I was looking over some of the material, kind of cheating before we got together, there's a lot of crazy stuff in the background that gives pause.
I know. I'm actually with you. I'm not a big conspiracy theory person. And I always think to myself, like, especially when it comes to this particular topic, you know, Chris and I were watching a movie last night. It was a documentary that was kind of like on the conspiracy theory end, you know. And it was just aggravating me so much because I think to your point, I think people have a hard time believing that someone so exceptional might have been killed by someone so unexceptional, if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. And so it's like it can't be, no one wants to believe that that kind of thing could happen for no reason.
Right.
And I think that's similar to what you're saying in that, you know, the world is so chaotic, you know.
Well,
yeah.
Go ahead. No, I was just going to say, sort of bringing it back to just the science and the facts. They were able to prove that Oswald could have gotten off three shots, right, from his perch. They only saw two casings by the window and one casing sort of further inside the room. But I mean, is there any way that we can approach this sort of scientifically and say Oswald legitimately could have been the only shooter? I think that what the evidence against that is that one bullet went all the way through, right? All the way through and hit the governor as well. And then there was another bullet that shattered his brain. So one was a full metal jacket and the other was a hollow point. Do I have all that right?
You're the fact checker.
I don't know, Chris. None of us are scientists or forensic analysts. Bullet man.
Let me do some research on that real quick.
I feel like that's not, just to like put my two cents in here, which is not worth much. But to me, it's like when we're talking about conspiracy stuff, I can understand people starting to believe things like, oh, maybe like the mafia is behind it. But when it comes to like, you know, there's like a unknown shooter, and like, that's where it's like, okay, there, you start to stretch things a little, where it's like, I think we've all had the thought, like, maybe there's like some deeper influences behind people's actions in this world. But when it comes to like really far-fetched, like, how did we get here? That's when I'm like, okay, maybe we backpedal just a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What were you going to say, Seth?
I wanted to say one thing quickly to something you said that I think is really important, which is that it's important to remember that JFK is the mythical. I mean, after George Washington and Abraham Lincoln, this is just a towering mythical figure. And I think so when we're reading Greek tragedy or we see it, you know, we don't want the hero killed by an unhappy, sulking loner who was crazy.
You know, yeah.
The hero killed by some amazing villain or some you know, tragic series of and so there you can see why there's a desire for conspiracy. He was brought down by the mafia, or he was
right
wingers, or he was brought down by Castro, or there's even this incredible tragic idea that, you know, Robert Kennedy going after the mobsters pissed them off so badly that they brought down JFK, so that he was actually brought down by his nobility. But to get back to Chris's thing, as far as the forensics of it, it seems like there could be a second shooter and there could still not be a conspiracy. But that seems crazy. So I wish I knew more. I mean, that it becomes so sort of convoluted. It's really hard to track.
Yeah. But let's talk about that said, let's talk about these conspiracy theories. Sure. But I'm on that camp. It's like, if there was another shooter, don't you think we would have known by now?
Right.
I don't know. But let's put the Soviet Union up on the board. Mm-hmm. NPR says, was the Soviet Union involved in the 1963 assassination of President John F. Kennedy? Given Cold War tensions and the fact that shooter Lee Harvey Oswald had defected to the Soviet Union and lived there in the years leading up to the assassination, it's a question that has long intrigued even the mildly conspiracy-minded. Oswald, a former U.S. Marine, went to the Soviet Union in 1959 and married there. Seemingly disenchanted with Soviet life, he returned to the U.S. soil less than 2 years later after apparently trying to commit suicide. An FBI memo says Soviet officials claimed that Lee Harvey Oswald had no connection whatsoever with the Soviet Union. They described him as a neurotic maniac who was disloyal to his own country and everything else. The Soviets were fearful that the assassination would be used to play on anti-communist sentiments in the U.S. to stop negotiations with the Soviet Union, attack Cuba, and thereafter spread war. When George M. Lesnik, a KGB agent who was in Moscow at the time, heard the news of Kennedy's death, he dashed to his office to look at Oswald's file. When he found the file, he reviewed it and found that Oswald had not been used or even approached for use by the Russian intelligence. Lesnik said that he then called others in the KGB, who said they were unaware of Oswald having been cultivated in any way before returning to the United States. So they're not claiming any connection to Oswald.
Well, why would they?
Exactly. Sure.
you know.
But I think the stakes would have been very high for the Soviet Union, don't you think? To even be, why would they even want to slightly be connected to any assassination attempt?
Right. Well, Johnson himself was terrified of this because he went to established the Warren Commission and immediately said, we've got to make sure that Americans don't think that the Soviet Union or Cuba is behind this, because they were terrified of a nuclear war. They had just, you know, we had just gotten out of the Cuban Missile Crisis. So there was definitely enough motivation on both sides to make sure that that was not in the narrative.
Mm-hmm. And that also speaks to what Seth was talking about before. JFK was so massive, he cast a shadow on everything. There were countries, you know, relationships with countries. There was the mafia. There was the CIA. I mean, he was sort of, you know, you could sort of draw out any number of scenarios as to the why behind the assassination. And so that's just, I think, something people can't help themselves but do.
Yeah. And why don't we talk about Fidel Castro and put him up on the board, you know, just so, you know, get things going.
So we're putting the Soviet Union on the board anyway, even though we're just pretty sure.
Let's
throw everything up on the board.
Yeah, and then we'll cross things off. Not later. A problem. Britannica says Cuba is central to a number of conspiracy theories. One theory that the Cuban government was responsible gathered steam after the Senate Select Committee to Study Governmental Operations with Respect to Intelligence Activities, the Church Committee, revealed that the Central Intelligence Agency, the CIA, had made several attempts to assassinate Cuban leader Fidel Castro. In denying the allegations, Castro argued that such an action would have posed too great a risk of retaliation by the United States. This is according to Jean Daniel, a French journalist who was with Castro when Kennedy's assassination was announced. Jean said, "Fidel stood up and said to me, 'Everything has changed. The United States occupies such a position in world affairs that the death of a president of that country affects millions of people in every corner of the globe. I'll tell you one thing. At least Kennedy was an enemy to whom we had become accustomed. Now they will have to find the assassin quickly, but very quickly. Otherwise, you watch and see. I know them. They will try to put the blame on us for this thing. But tell me, how many presidents have been assassinated? 4? This is most disturbing. In Cuba, only one has been assassinated."
Mm. Mm. What does that remind you of? That reminds me of weapons of mass destruction.
Huh.
And going that. Well, it reminds me of the 9/11 attack, and then we go in to Iraq.
Right.
Which is, the sort of rush to find a villain, and Castro felt like the target was going to be on him.
This is such an interesting situation, because if it was an inside job, right, what were they trying to get at? I can't fathom what was the end goal here?
Right.
Am I missing something?
Right.
I probably
you think
am.
That whoever was like, if it was like a inside job, like you're saying, and to bring it back to like Chris comparing it to 9/11, it's like we knew why they did that after the fact. People were like, someone claimed responsibility, and then they kind of like made their cause known. This is just like it happened, and it's all a mystery, and no one's really claiming responsibility. It's like so shrouded in mystery that it's. Just begs the question, why?
Right.
Right.
Well, the Cuba question is interesting because there's two separate motivations. I mean, theoretically, one is that Castro, furious at Kennedy attempting to essentially have him killed, sent an assassin to kill Kennedy. But the other was that the anti-Castro exiles in Miami were so furious that Kennedy had bungled the Bay of Pigs that they killed him. So, I mean, and then we're in that sort of land of, I mean, it's funny because everyone thinks, I think there's this idea that fake news is something new, but clearly Americans were not trusting the press, in 1963. Mm-hmm. So I think I don't know how new that is. And even as we have this conversation, I just find myself on this weird, unstable ground around this one. It's a weird feeling to talk about it.
Is there an earthquake happening? We're all shaking.
Yeah. To your point, what is the CIA angle? What are they trying to gain? It's not like Kennedy's a crazy left winger. It's Johnson
who
passes civil rights. Kennedy's kind of centrist. So what's the motivation for the CIA?
Maybe it's something about the time. I mean, the decade itself was such like a volatile decade. It just seems like there has to be more to this assassination than just some guy killed him.
Right. And that comes back to this idea. We need a narrative.
Yeah. Right.
It's too unsafe not to have a narrative that makes sense.
Our little brains need that bedtime story.
Right.
This is more of a scary story than a bedtime story.
Well, let's talk about the mafia and then the CIA. ABC News says the mob was heavily invested in casinos and other lucrative investments in Cuba before Castro's communist revolution, according to one iteration of the theory. Kennedy botched the Bay of Pigs invasion, in ending any hopes of American organized crime returning to Cuba and enraging the mafia. Furthermore, the mob did not like Kennedy's crusading younger brother, Attorney General Robert Kennedy, and hoped the younger brother would lose his influence if his brother was killed. One version of the theory has the CIA, who had already contacted the mob about killing Castro, asking the mafia to carry out the Kennedy hit. In another version, the mob is paid to kill Kennedy by anti-Castro Cubans. Many proponents of this conspiracy theory point to Jack Ruby, the Dallas nightclub owner with known mafia connections who killed Lee Harvey Oswald 2 days after his arrest. And that is kind of the big, another big, massive why. It's like, why does Jack Ruby kill Oswald? Right?
That's what makes it seem really suspicious, right? Like, or how you can really get into the, like, oh, they killed him because they needed to silence him. Like,
right. But it's so weird. And, you know, I believe, I hope my memory is serving me, is correct. But I believe that when he was interviewed, Jack Ruby, it was like, it was a spur of the moment decision to kill Oswald. Apparently, he like had his dog in his car, like he was on his way to something else. He made a wrong turn. He happened upon, you know, Oswald being either, I forget if he was being taken into the courthouse. He's you know, being taken somewhere, and he just kind of shoots him.
This is why we shouldn't have open carry, to Seth's earlier point.
Oh, my
alarm.
God.
Yeah. But this is the one I told you, I'm not a conspiracy guy. This is the one where you go, this is crazy. It's sort of a, you know, the things I do on the spur of the moment are like, let's order pizza tonight.
But you're also not in the mob.
That's a healthy spur of the moment decision.
Yeah, let's.
Yes.
If you threw a pizza at me, I'd be like, don't do that.
It's unhealthy, kind of. It's kind of unhealthy. I mean, it'd be healthier if you were like, let's have a salad tonight.
Right.
It's not as immediately unhealthy as shooting, though.
That's true. That's true. There are levels. It's not black and white.
Yeah, that's a crazy spur of the moment thing to do. I think I'll be embedded forever in the national psyche. Let me, you know.
Right. Right.
But to me, you don't do anything with your dog in the car. So that to me proves, in my mind, that it really could have been spur of the moment. Because if you're going out to, you know, hit, you know, do a hit job. Is that what you call them? Like a hit job.
Yeah.
A hit. Then do you really bring your dog?
If you're crazy, you do.
Here's another thing, though. Maybe he's just like, I mean, we saw what happened when Trump didn't win re-election. A bunch of his supporters who were so miffed about it stormed the Capitol. So maybe this guy really just was like a fan and was so mad that someone shot what he thought was a great mm-hmm. president, that this was just his way of like mm-hmm. spur of the moment taking revenge, you know, for that act.
And then the craziest thing is that he dies from cancer a few months later.
I know.
And so we can't get any answers.
But this, yeah. It sounds like a cover-up. Then you say, so there's 10,000 people involved in this cover-up who have kept their silence for...
Yes.
Right.
What in the world? People can't keep secrets. We know that.
Right.
There's got to be one person who wants to do a book deal at some point.
Exactly.
It's been many years.
Yeah. Well, you know, this whole thing, that one of the commissions, I forget what it was scheduled to be unsealed during Trump's presidency. And Trump kicked it down the road to Biden. And now Biden, because of COVID, has kicked it down the road. So when you archive this podcast, you know, there could be this sudden revelation that, you know.
Oh, wow.
We'll have to come back to
it. We'll have to revisit.
The dog is troubling. I wish Chris would weigh in on it.
The dog. No, yeah, to me, Ruby, you know, it sort of goes back to what you were saying before, Seth, about Kennedy being this mythical figure. You know, I do think there's a spell that gets cast, you know, on the public or fans or people who hate a certain character. I mean, you know, I think of some of my own friends in my circle when Trump was president saying, you know, I mean, the vitriol and the hatred, which is, you know,
warranted in certain ways, but drives people, I think, in ways that sort of become, yeah, like these impulsive decisions sort of start to make sense, I think. And so, yeah, like that somebody was such a fan of Kennedy.
Right. And just happens upon, you know, the his murderer, and then just kind of takes it in his own hands. I mean, it's
a crime of passion.
Let's talk about the CIA. The CIA, this is according to ABC News, in nearly every theory that involves American conspirators, be they wealthy industrialists or tough-as-nails mafiosos, one group is routinely represented, the CIA. The CIA is an easy boogeyman. Its workings and agents are a secret to most Americans, and the agency in the 1960s had a reputation for high-level political assassinations. One theory suggests that Oswald was a CIA operative and agents tampered with his FBI file before and after the investigation to make it appear he was a communist and lone wolf. This is according to Britannica. One of the most developed theories was pushed by Jim Garrison, the district attorney of New Orleans, who alleged that anti-Castro and anti-communist elements within the CIA were behind a conspiracy that involved Oswald and a coterie of rabid New Orleans anti-communist businessman Clay Shaw. Private detective and former FBI agent Guy Bannister and David Ferry, who had been in the same Civil Air Patrol squadron as Oswald in the 1950s. Bannister and Ferry died before Garrison brought his case to trial, but Shaw was found not guilty in 1969. So I believe this is the conspiracy theory involving numbers. This is the craziest one. Could you look this one up, Chris? It's a theory where all these numbers make up Oswald's either phone number or address, but like how he gets to it is wild.
So this reminds me of when we did The Shining, and there had all those clues in there, and I don't think Stanley Kubrick, you know, had a method to all the madness. I think there was just a lot of interesting details that people sort of get fixated on. It's sort of what draws them back to the story.
Right. They're just trying to, that if a theory is, if you're working too hard on any theory, just throw it out, I guess, put it in the trash.
Put your energy towards better endeavors.
Yeah.
I guess.
What's the motive? I don't understand the motivation of the CIA. That's the one where I get lost.
I'm with you. And maybe if we talk about like the Secret Service agents as well, right? Because we should put them on the board as well. This is according to Vanity Fair. Today, Bolin, a 79-year-old retiree in Chicago, thinks that drinking definitely had something to do with the lackadaisical Secret Service performance when the Kennedy motorcade was under attack. The biggest problem I ran into in the Secret Service when I was an agent was their constant drinking, he told me. When he would get to a place, one of the first things they would do was stock up on liquor. They would drink, and then we would go to work. On November 22nd, Bolden says their reflexes were definitely affected by, number one, the loss of sleep, and number two, the fact that some may have consumed that amount of alcohol.
Sounds very Mad Men, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's the time, right? You're just like drinking and working.
That's what I'm doing right now.
Oh, yeah, I see that.
Yeah. He's pounding.
I actually, pounding from my bartending life, know somebody who is in the Secret Service. And
what?
Who will remain nameless. That's how he described it. He said the drinking was just...
Wow.
But he did say that the kind of personality that was drawn to the Secret Service then was kind of someone who was a little on the edge. He actually felt they were more creative, as crazy as this sounds, and that they were better able to respond to unexpected situations because they were not sort of corporate by the book types. A lot of them were vets who've been in war. And actually the Secret Serviceman who draped himself over Lyndon Johnson, one jumped onto the back of the car to immediately be with Jackie O. But the one in Johnson's car immediately pushed Johnson to the floor, draped his body over Johnson, and then they, within seconds, had grouped all three cars together. The middle car had all the weaponry, and they were on the highway to the Parkland Hospital, driving bumper to bumper within minutes. So, I mean, it was their response, actually, as I read it in the, because I'm a big Robert Caro fanatic, and he wrote a really great definitive biography of Lyndon Johnson. So my sense from the reporting on that was that actually the Secret Service did kind of an incredible job that day.
I mean, they definitely didn't, you know, foresee what happened. They definitely didn't see the shooter. So I don't know. I don't know what the Secret Service protocol is. Like, are you looking at buildings for shooters? I'm sure now they are, right?
Right. When, lesson learned.
Yeah. I mean, and I think that something to that was at play here was also what I've heard is JFK's like resistance to wanting Secret Service in his car.
Right.
I mean, there were no agents in his car because he felt like he didn't want anything between him and the people. Right. So he felt like if there were agents that were following him or in the car, that would give off like a message that, you know, he wanted to come off as like salt of the earth, like one of them, you know.
He's trying to win this state, Texas, in particular.
Right. And he didn't want to be like one of the Washington folk, you know, who need that kind of coverage, you know, or protection between the president and its constituents, you know.
That's right. And the whole reason Johnson is on the ticket the first time is because they know they need the electoral votes in Texas. And Clayton's right. They're coming back specifically to win Texas, which is, of course, now on the verge of turning purple. You know, so that and it's just such a huge electoral college prize. But I know the Secret Service did make a change after this, which is the friend of mine who was in it said they are now watching buildings so closely that he said he'd been on details where suddenly they have, you know, they've told the superintendents of all the buildings near a rally or a speech to shut down. And he said, at one point, we saw a 5-year-old kid, it looked like, come out on a balcony. And the call went out to that superintendent in that building, get that kid inside that window before we start shooting. Really, they are, because of that, they now are the perimeter is vastly extended in there, you know, and they're contacting everyone who's running every building that they're going past.
This is the human experience, I think, right? We just are living our lives, not really thinking about how something can go wrong until it goes wrong. And like, wow, I never thought of that. And then we are all over it. You know, it's like, we never thought, I mean, 9/11 is so horrific, but whoever thought that someone would use a plane and fly it into it? Like, it's just horrific. But now it's like, you see, I can't look at a plane flying low over a city without thinking, what if, you know?
Yeah.
So now it's in our psyche.
Mm-hmm. I want to put two more things up on the board. Clayton, not to victim blame here, you know, but there's some element of like JFK's wanting to connect with the public, right? I mean, it was a bit reckless in that he decided to not have the Secret Service as close to him, you know?
Well, he also made the decision not to have that. They had some sort of protective bubble they were going to put on him, but because the weather was so nice that they didn't use that. Is that correct?
Yes. I think we can blame sunshine. So it had been raining for the previous day, and they had this protective plastic bubble on top of the car. But because it was such a nice day and the sun had come out, they opted against it. So, you know, you can't help but think, what if, right?
Here comes the sun, unfortunately.
You'll never think of the sun the same again, right?
Yeah. It's that classic song by the Beatles.
You know, I wonder if all these what ifs are just, don't we do that when we have a personal tragedy? We go back to all the what ifs. It's almost like take the hands of time and just push it back and imagine a different outcome. And I wonder if that's driving all this conspiracy and all, because there's this idea that if we understood and we could push the hands of time back, and if the sun had gone away, if it had rained, he'd be alive, and then we would have had a different country in this case.
Right. There's this thing that we've talked about before, which is the Swiss cheese theory. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to, like, you know, this kind of thing, like protective protocols, right? So they do it a lot in aviation, and it's also like in this kind of thing where it's like, you know, you have this protocol, then, you know, which is a slice of Swiss cheese, and then you have another one, you know, there are holes always, but the idea is that if you put enough of them on top of each other, there won't be any holes that anything can go through the Swiss cheese packet. But there are times where things just get through. It seemed to be like a perfect storm for this kind of thing to happen.
Yeah.
And it's just unfortunate. And that happens sometimes.
I feel like, just to add on there too, like the idea that 1960s America was like it was a modern time. You know, I think anyone in their day of existence can't believe that something like that could happen. You know, like if this were to happen in 2021, I'd be like, how is this even possible? It's already happened so many times. Like, we should have figured this out by now. But I don't think I would feel any less that way, you know, 50 years ago.
It's right.
Can't believe that we haven't, as humans, been able to kind of figure it out.
I'm trying to put it into words to put it up on the board, but maybe something like just the inevitability of unpreventable tragedy or something like that.
I like that.
It just is a terrible thing. I mean, it's not fate. Fate would be probably...
It just aligned perfectly that it could happen. Right? I think it's what
it's like bad things happen.
They do. Oh, that's so scary.
It's unsatisfying.
Yeah. And
finally, I want to put up a listener, one of our listener recommendations, and this is coming from David Scott Williams, and they say, a fun one would be the Kennedy family curse. I love how he said a fun one. Uh-huh. the Kennedy family curse and the fact that JFK's great grandfather stole money from his community in Ireland to send him to the U.S. During the potato famine.
Oof.
Under the guise that he would send money back to the community after finding work in the U.S., but he never sent the money back. It's almost like he's saying like that started off the karma or whatever. The
curse.
The Irish curse. Yeah.
Mm.
Hey. Is that the Irish curse?
I think
don't
it is.
Mess with potatoes. Do not mess with.
We did cover that. So, okay, the Kennedy family curse. I mean, there have been so many deaths and tragedies that are, you know, have happened to people in this family. They're, you know, I could rattle. It would be just too much. We could do an entire episode on just all of the bad things that have happened to members of the Kennedy family. But this curse, you know, refers to a series of premature deaths, accidents, assassinations, and other calamities involving members of the American Kennedy family. So is there anything else that we want to put up on the board? Are we feeling... like
Jackie?
We're missing something. Jackie?
Do we know what Jackie was up to?
No.
No.
I mean, that had to have been one of the... I can't imagine going through such a traumatic event.
And how quickly things happened after, too, right? Just having to swear, like, you're standing there, your husband's dead, you're swearing in a new president, like, this is real.
Right.
Like, what a mind F.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, brutal.
And there's this crazy, you know, Johnson wanted to be sworn in immediately. So he was sworn in on the plane back to D.C. because they wanted a smooth, quick transition of power. And he telephoned Robert Kennedy, who hated him, and said that he wanted Jackie at his side when he did it so that the American people could be assured that this was a smooth, agreed upon transition. And she agreed to do it. So I don't know how much later that was, whether it was, you know, it must have been within 24 hours.
Well, she was still wearing the dress,
She
was famously still wearing the dress.
It's unimaginable.
Yeah, she insisted on wearing the dress, right?
No,
she
wanted the suit, the Chanel suit. Yeah, Chanel.
she wanted people to see.
Yes,
yeah. To feel the horror.
Yeah,
yeah.
When she got back on the plane, because there's that footage of her. I mean, she has blood all over her pink Chanel suit. I mean, okay. So let's. I we're running out of time here. Let's take a quick break, and then we'll start crossing things off the list.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Okay, who's to blame for the JFK assassination? Is it Lee Harvey Oswald, the Soviet Union, Fidel Castro, the Mafia, the CIA, Secret Service agents, reckless decisions by JFK himself, the weather? Here comes the sun, unfortunately. Inevitability of bad things happening, or the Kennedy family curse. And I guess we left off Jackie. We don't want to put that on there.
No.
No.
Chris. Okay. No.
Just curious. Just making sure. It wasn't a clerical error.
I think that let's start off by taking JFK off the list.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That would have been hard for him to pull off.
Yeah.
Victim blame.
Yeah, let's not do that.
A lot of reasons to take that off.
I also think that we can take, what do you guys think? I just want to take the Soviet Union, Fidel Castro and Cuba off the list.
This feels like a very,
Mafia.
This discussion feels very anti-conspiracy theory. And I think that that's also a, a telling sign of our times too, is that I think we're all as a society pretty sick of people, conspiracy theories.
I wouldn't say all of us. I think a lot of us are really into it.
No, I guess.
I think we are as a group.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
The QAnon is out there, huh?
Maybe it was their fault. Should we put that
QAnon?
On?
Yeah. I'm sure they'd love to claim it.
Didn't they just gather expecting?
Yes, they just gathered on Dealey Plaza, a bunch of followers with this is what they thought. They thought that JFK Jr. was going to come back from the dead and tell them that Trump was now president. That is the 100% truth.
They believe.
Oh my goodness. Wow.
So like that cuckoo.
Did we ever get the numbers conspiracy, Chris? Did you ever?
I couldn't find it.
Oh, okay. There's like a numerology. I'm sure someone can write in and tell us what that conspiracy theory was. It's wild. But I want to say it's like numerology. I don't know, guys. I also think that we can take the CIA off. Mm-hmm. I'm, if anything, more Secret Service, right? Mm-hmm. So we've got Lee Harvey Oswald up. We still have the Secret Service. We have the weather, the sun, inevitability of bad things happening, and the Kennedy family curse. I think we can take the sun off for now. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, and the Kennedy family curse, there's just not a lot of evidence. It's more of a, I wouldn't say, that's not a conspiracy theory. That's more of a supernatural theory.
Yeah.
Right.
So...
you got to kind of buy into some like old world, you know, like curses in general and people placing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess those, we all feel cursed at certain times, but I'm never like, oh, I actually am cursed. It's just like a bit of bad luck, I guess. Or yeah. Wrong place, wrong time.
I guess if you had that many tragedies that like happened in your family, you might start to think it was a curse.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But for now, I mean, let's take that. We just don't have the evidence.
Uh-huh.
And I think what we're left with here is figuring out who to send to jail between Lee Harvey Oswald, the Secret Service agents, and the inevitability of bad things happening.
I really like
what are we feeling?
I really like what Chris was saying about the inevitability of bad things happening, which is we seem to have this cultural moment where, you know, your kid has an injury on a bike, so he wears a bike helmet, and then we pad our playgrounds, and then we wear seatbelts, and then we make big sodas illegal, and then and there's this sense that somehow we can legislate safety into a world that might not be true, and that we can't control everything, and that as much as we would wish to, people like Lee Harvey Oswald are unhinged and do horrible things, and then weird low-level mobsters who like their dogs and not humanity go and kill other people. It's sort of a terrifying answer, right? But it's...
yeah, it's true. And I always think about this. What I find happens more often than not is that human error is way scarier, or like human uncertainty, inevitability is way scarier than like malice out there.
Yes.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like people are going to mess up. And in a way, that happened that day, right? Secret Service agents, they didn't catch it. They didn't see him. They didn't see Lee Harvey Oswald up on the building. Mm-hmm. They took the protective, they allowed JFK to not have agents around him. And they kind of messed up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
That was their job.
And I mean, I think to sort of draw that out a little bit, also what you're saying is that Lee Harvey Oswald acting alone feels kind of unsatisfying, because who is this guy? You know, he's like you were saying before, he's a nobody, you know, and to what Seth is saying before too, like the sort of spirit of JFK, you know,
mm-hmm. mythical like...
figure is so large, you don't want that to be the truth. And, you know, again, it sort of plays to your, it's not even human error. It's also just simple and
yeah,
just it's the too simplest and easiest explanations, as opposed to broad conspiracy and sort of, you know, malicious figures acting in Congress, right, with each other. And
so what do you think about this? Yeah, Clayton.
I was just going to say that, you know, just to expand on the inevitability of bad things happening, it's also just the inevitability that people do bad things.
Right.
Like, yikes. You know, like we can't just assume that everyone has the same mentality and virtue as what we think our own virtue is. Like people are out there and just want to cause harm for whatever reason. So,
or and even like what even scarier is that humans aren't either or. Like there is within us both of those things, I believe. And that's even scarier.
We have a history of this. Like there's a secret service because people have been assassinating leaders for, in every culture forever. It's like, oh, we know that men are capable of that. And it is inevitable. So it's inevitable that someone like a Lee Harvey Oswald is going to come along and kill a president. We just hope that we can stop it.
Yeah.
And I think some of the terror is when you have something like Julius Caesar and Brutus, the killer is a thoughtful, moral, ethical man. And then again, coming back to this idea that someone we perceive as a nobody for reasons we can't fathom, who may not even understand those reasons himself, you know, it adds kind of this other level of existential terror that bad things happen for no reason and they're not explainable is a terrifying world to live in.
So are we really going to send the inevitability of bad things happening?
I can't
happening
believe
to...
we got there.
I think we should send Lee Harvey Oswald to jail.
That was my instinct.
He's a bad person and do it. But I think inevitability of bad things happening gets a big
slap.
Maybe a backhand too.
Big I think we just give it the slap.
Sure.
And we catch the Secret Service on the backhand.
Wow.
Wait, why the Secret Service? Just because they drink a lot? Well, I mean, I feel like they did a pretty...
They messed up, right? I mean...
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
But
Rebecca really is mad at the Secret Service, whereas I think that... I mean, it would have been really hard for them to do.
Yeah, it
different.
Is. So that's why... Okay, fine. I'm going to call it. I know what I'm going
to
do.
Unless
here.
We were to say that the Secret Service was behind, like, the second
shot
or
third shot. I don't think they were.
Whatever.
I don't believe those theories.
We're not ready to go there
no,
yet.
No. Okay, I'm going to call it. Inevitability of bad things happening. You're getting the big slap. Lee Harvey Oswald, you're going to the alarmist jail.
Wow.
What do you think, Seth? Did we do a good job today?
I can't imagine I'll be invited back ever after the horribly depressing things I said. But you did a great job. Yes, I think I think you did an amazing job. I think that's I think this is crazy.
Whenever we want to stare into the deepest, darkest valley of our existential quandaries, we will call you, Seth. We'll get you right on the horn.
No, we couldn't have
and
done
really
it without
feel
you.
The empty.
We had to feel
call
the
Seth
darkness.
Call Seth Kaner and feel the emptiness inside you.
Seth, thank you so much for joining us today and helping us get to the bottom of who's to blame for the JFK assassination, one of the biggest we've tackled.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
After the JFK assassination. To this day, the assassination of JFK is a hot, controversial topic. The endless stream of conspiracy theories have convinced many Americans that Lee Harvey Oswald did not act alone, despite the conclusion that he did, after a year-long investigation into the murder by Chief Justice Earl Warren. A number of government documents related to the assassination have yet to be made public, despite a law requiring their release by 2017. That law allowed the sitting president to withhold the documents for national security reasons, and while President Trump did release many of them, some were withheld until 2021. President Biden announced on Friday, October 22nd, 2021, that the records will be withheld from the public for another year. In a statement, he said, quote, temporary continued postponement is necessary to protect against identifiable harm to the military defense, intelligence operations, law enforcement, or the conduct of foreign relations that is of such gravity that it outweighs the public interest in immediate disclosure. For now, we can only wonder what information those documents hold. Vote for who you think is to blame by going to thealarmistpodcast.com. Follow us at thealarmistthe on Twitter, at thealarmistpodcast on Instagram, or email us at thealarmistpodcast@gmail.com. Tune in next week. We'll be discussing Carrie and Big's wedding.
Earios.
Powered by Acast.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Okay, I have two new obsessions that I need to share with you. Impress No Glue Press-On Manis and Impress Press-On Falsies Lashes. Trust me, these are getting ready game changers. Both require no glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes, no mess, and no annoying dry times. Just one step and you're done. Boom. Instant glam. Visit impressbeauty.com/presson and use code PRESSON25 at checkout for 25% off Impress manicure and Press-On falsies.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.